View with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates first class and business class and experience a new level of comfort.
And welcome to the Emirates World View and that chance to win R1,000. Adam Gilchrist is going to run through a couple of stories, internationally relevant ones. Once he's done with that, you can win that thousand. How do you do that? Well, if you have sent in a question about the world that you'd like answered and we answer that, then that R1,000 is yours. If you haven't yet sent in a question and you'd like to win in the future, please do so by sending the question to our WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. Adam Gilchrist in London. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, good morning, Kino.
And we start with the Brexit contingency plans. France begins preparing for a no-deal Brexit.
Yes, I think one or two of my friends might like to wake up and notice this particular story because they're convinced that it's going to make absolutely no difference at all. That somehow we'll all just, it'll all be fine, I think is the most commonly used phrase. And it's not just my mates who are a bit stupid, you understand. There might be others who are a bit stupid as well. The French Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, has told us that a no-deal Brexit looks, as he put it, less and less unlikely. To translate into proper English, that means more likely.
Yes.
So Edouard Philippe is predicting a no-deal Brexit, and frankly, it's not hard to predict at this stage. It really doesn't look like, even if Theresa May does find a plan B by Monday, remember that she can get it together, get the EU to agree it, get MPs to come up with approving it, etc., etc. So Mr. Philippe says already laws will have to be passed, and they're going about that, and millions are going to be invested in French ports and airports. In other words, they're acknowledging that once we hit the 29th of March and the UK exits the European Union with no deal, we don't have all the immigration, trade, travel ties that we've got at the moment. So lo and behold, there will be queues, there'll be extra pressure, there'll be customs checks and passport checks that there aren't at the moment, or extra ones at any rate, and thorough ones too, which means enormous great traffic jams at Calais and at the Channel Tunnel, and in particular, of course, it's for Brits, because Brits go to France more than the French come to Britain, but at the airports, it's probably similar numbers to Europeans coming here to us going to Europe. Another European Commission spokesman put it, we're not taking any chances, it's going to be chaos. on the one hand, the EU could help the UK out a little bit out of this conundrum, and they could actually probably set a few wheels in motion. On the other hand, why should they? We're the ones leaving the club, and they're just going to try and make sure that things can still happen. They want our money, they want us to visit, just acknowledging it's going to be an awful lot more awkward.
Yeah, I mean, and they also don't want to make it easy for someone to leave, because if they make it easy for you to leave and other people want to leave, then you might not have any EU.
Yes, absolutely. And given the way that politics are at the moment, and Tony Blair hinted at this as well yesterday, made a very good statement along the lines of, the European Union really should look at the conditions that have led to Brexit, concerns about immigration, communities left behind, extremism and so forth. And if you think about how nationalist a lot of countries have gone in Europe, they're looking at themselves, they're looking internally, they're not looking beyond their own borders, then that suggests more breakaways, potentially. Having said that, of course, there are a lot of countries who rely on the EU for bailouts and to make things a lot easier for them. So it's a sort of double-edged thing, really, isn't it? On the one hand, people want to be European. On the other hand, people want to be their own boss. And that's exactly kind of where we got stuck.
Now, the American space weapons, tell us more. A new report points to orbiting defense.
Yes, this Pentagon review, it says that the United States must, as they put it, research new technologies, such as a layer of sensors in space that can find and destroy incoming missiles. Those of us old enough might immediately think of Ronald Reagan, circa 1980, and his Star Wars project. Somebody suggested that to him as a joke, apparently. Why didn't you call it Star Wars, Mr. President? And it stuck. The Missile Defense Review says America should revamp its entire defense program, its entire missile defense program, and include a possible orbital sensor system, what Donald Trump has called a sixth branch of the military to ensure that there is American dominance in space. So there are lots of other things in this particular review, but space is clearly being viewed as the key to missile defense. Those of us on the ground might think, well, it's a long way up. Can you really shoot it down before it comes here? Doesn't it just hop across? And I thought cruise missiles, for instance, hugged the land. So what good is it having something up in space? But I'm sure they know what they're doing.
We hope. And then, this is interesting, a global coffee crisis.
I know. You may want to grip a mug of something warm and wet as we talk about this. I mean, apart from those 37 experts yesterday who were telling us that we must radically reduce meat consumption and turn to plants and veg and so forth, this is the other most alarming news of the week, that 60% of the world's wild coffee plants are on the edge of extinction, as they put it. I thought extinction only applied to animals, but no, apparently it does apply to plants as well. Scientists say that wild coffee is critical for sustaining the global coffee crop, and they're talking about how out of 124 types of wild coffee that grow naturally in forests, etc., as many as 75 of those are at risk.
Yeah.
Essentially, you and I are probably drinking coffee from only two species, Arabica and Robusta.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what kind of blend you buy, that's basically what we're drinking. But most of the other 122 species don't taste good, but they contain genes that help the Arabica and Robusta plants survive things like drought and disease. So they turned the wild coffee constantly to prop up the Arabica and Robusta plants. And so if they're not able to do that, then we might end up with a coffee crisis. I mean, we're a little way off it, but I'm thinking of hoarding.
But I mean, hold on. Can't we get the whole thing genetically modified?
Well, there's the point. It's not very in. I mean, I know that everyone went a little bit GM interested, 20 years ago or so. It's not very in to be genetically modified, is it? But would that work? Maybe.
Could be. Yeah. We should look at that. It's something we'll look into as a show. And then finally, Prince Philip Haney's Aston Martin DB9 taking a corner at 180 kilometres an hour. Rolls the car. Kidding. What actually happened?
Not quite. Actually, we don't know how fast he was going. But you know what? He managed to flip over a Range Rover. And to flip one of those things over, that takes a bit of doing. I don't think he was doing 180 miles an hour or kilometres an hour. And they're pretty solid 4x4 things. And it was just near the Royal Estate at Sandringham in Norfolk. But another car was involved. Two people in the other car suffered minor injuries. Prince Philip was fine, but frankly, most people tend to be fine when they walk out of Range Rovers. He was described as being shocked and shaken. But here's the thing. Here's the hot debate. Age 97. And there are some who might be surprised that he still drives. He does, apparently, around Sandringham and Windsor and Balmoral. And there is this thing that at the age of 70 in the UK, you have to reapply for your licence every 3 years.
Yeah, makes sense.
There's no upward limit.
We'd need that, yeah.
Well, I suppose the point is that you are actually technically far more likely to cause a crash. I mean, I don't mean technically, I mean statistically. You're far more likely to cause a crash at 17 than 97. So therefore, you should be absolutely entitled to a license at 97 or 105 or whatever you are, as long as medically you can still see, you can still turn your head, etc., etc., etc. And you know what? There's this fantastic picture. It's only 2 years old, of Prince Philip driving the Obamas and Queen Liz around Windsor. Blokes in the front, the gals in the back. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, but hold on. Don't talk to me about statistically. How many 97-year-olds are there out there versus how many 19 and 17-year-olds?
I know, but there's a thing. I suppose there's a thing that if you're, infuriating though it may be, if you're driving around and there's an old dude in a flat cap driving very, very slowly and cautiously, boy, is that frustrating. But he's less likely to cause a crash than the bloke who's doing 50 and overtaking you on a double yellow line or something.
Yeah, true story, true story. Adam, always great chatting. That's Adam Gilchrist there with your Emirates World View. Now, you can stand a chance of winning that 1,000 Rand each and every day, as a matter of fact. Just send us a question about the world the same way Paloma did. Let's listen to the question.
Where does the custom come from that a man kneels down on one knee when he proposes to a woman?
Yeah, it depends how old the man is and whether both knees are in working condition. But yeah, got you. We went to Alait Swanepoel, founder and chairman of the Alait Group, the luxury event and wedding planners. And here's the answer.
I'm actually loving the question because I wasn't 100% sure, but what I thought was indeed correct. It dates back to the olden days when knights used to go on their one knee as obedience, loyalty, and also to show respect to the king or their lord. And also religion and marriage was also intertwined. And since those days, when you want to ask your lady to marry you forever, then you show loyalty, respect, and also that the obedience part, sadly. and then also very interesting, when you go down on one knee, your head, your face, is actually at the hand of your bride. So it's very easy to put the ring on to ask them. So I would say that there's a lot of other myths, but I would think we're safe with these two.
Here we go. Thank you very much, Paloma, for putting that question out there. It's been answered. So that 1,000 Rand is yours, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates Business Class to experience a new level of comfort.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-567-1567 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on capetalk.co.za.